You're not sick, Amelia, no.
No?
No, you're real farsighted.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
Thanks for listening.
Enjoy the show.
So, hey, everybody, welcome back to, I don't even know the name of this podcast at this point. It's been so long. Cage Match. Welcome back to Cage Match, a podcast that Murder and I do whenever the hell we finally feel like it.
And you like it. Shut up. You get what you get.
Damn it. Oh, geez. Well, Murder and I have been trying to record, but we've been busy as hell. The fall has been insane. So we were discussing how we promised to always be consistently inconsistent.
That's a promise we made to you today, folks of podcast world.
It's probably the only promise we can keep, so that's the one we're gonna go with. But we did bring a guest with us this month, so everybody say hello to, oh man, how am I introducing you? Raven or Danny or Danielle? Danielle is not what I'm...
Yeah, no, that's not the one.
Stark Murray Raven.
You're going to edit that out.
it's staying in. That's what happens. So what are we going to settle on? Raven? You're Raven?
Raven's perfect.
Well, I'm sure not going to call her Danielle this entire fucking time, so Raven it is.
I will hang up.
I will burn this podcast to the ground.
That is for my aunties and my uncles. Those are the only people who call me that.
Before you came on, we were discussing how I've never called you that, but whenever you message me on Facebook, I get very confused because I'm like, who's that again? Oh, right. That's Raven.
Yeah. Danielle.
I mean, I've even told my kids that you guys are kind of like Aunt Murder and Aunt Raven at this point. You know,
it's true, we are. So.
But
it's a very witches over the cauldron type auntie relationship.
It is true. I mean, you both are delightful witches, though. You're kind of like Sabrina's aunt and aunts, you know, like that. You know,
oh, praise like... Satan.
Yeah, yes, praise Satan. Exactly.
So Raven, for those who don't know you that are listening at the moment, who are you?
I mean, what a great fucking question. How much time do you have?
Like on a like emotional level, or
like on a biblical level.
Well, my recording gives us 2 hours, so that's as long as you got.
There's a video circulating of a biblically accurate pasta, and that's what Raven is.
I identify that spinning forks attached to a drill. well, who am I? I am Raven. I skate with Murder and with Mrs. Justin Harlan, and where am I from? I'm from New York. I really love H.P. Lovecraft, and I really like Nicolas Cage, and Murder remains to be my friend, despite all of that.
Even though she tricked me into seeing the movie we're about to talk about today.
Oh, and I cannot wait for that story. I'm excited.
I don't recall tricking you. I think I was like, hey, do you want to see this movie? Nicolas Cage is in it. And you went, no, and then you got in the car.
I recall it differently. I recall you being like, do you want to see this movie? And I said, yes. And then we got to the theater and you're like, yeah, Nick Cage is in it. That
also may have happened.
Either way, what a delight.
It was the first time you'd seen or heard of Allentown. So
I don't even know who Allentown is.
wait, hold on. I'm a little bit perturbed at the moment. You never knew of Allentown?
I have this like running bit that I've never been to Allentown.
Okay. Never even heard of it?
That I've never even heard of it. And anytime somebody mentions it, I'm like, I don't know who Allentown is.
Jeez.
Who the fuck is Alan?
I don't even know Alan.
Well, I mean, that's, I've been very acquainted with Allentown for a long time because I grew up a Billy Joel fan.
Never met him.
Well, he's also a piece of shit, like the director of the movie we're going to talk about, because he also beats women. But we will.
Oh, does he? I have no idea. Okay.
Oh yeah, Billy Joel has several ex-wives who have come out about being beaten by him. So yeah, he's not a great human being.
He's really living on a prayer, huh?
That's Bon Jovi.
Damn. Wrong
right. Oh jeez.
Oh, they're all garbage.
I mean, she was only 17.
All right, so with that in mind, that's Raven. I don't know if you know anything more about her than you did when I asked who she is. But,
you don't need to.
No, you really don't.
I'm a bird of mystery.
It's actually just a bird.
Just a bird.
I'm just going to play I'm Like a Bird as our intro.
I'm like a bird. I love you, Larry.
What? How did that go? What were the words?
La, 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 la.
Yeah, I'm like good. A bird, I'm a I know where my home is.
I think you can cut it here. I don't think we need to talk anymore.
Yeah, no, I'm isolating that clip and using it often. I think I might be playing it. I might be playing it as a sounder on Twitch next time we have a derby bout. But
that'd be amazing.
All right. Well, that's gonna have to happen now. So those of you who have been listening to us for a little while know that Murder and I know each other through roller derby, and that is also how we know Raven. And obviously we know each other quite well as we sit here and bullshit and say ridiculous things that nobody even understands. But I do want to talk about Nick Cage a little bit, the reason we're here. So I know one of you is excited about that, the other one is Murder, and I'm sorry, Murder. But before we talk about the movie we're here about, since we last talked, Nick Cage has released several movies. One of which...
So surprising. That's so weird. He, like, never works.
Right. One of them came out in July, and I think we put out an episode around the time it came out, but I don't think I mentioned it, or maybe I did, but it was called Sympathy for the Devil, and it's the only of the three I've actually seen. Are either of you familiar with this movie?
No.
I'm familiar with the Rolling Stones song, but no, I'm not familiar with the film.
So the Rolling Stones song is probably better than this movie, but I did enjoy the movie. It's a cool little like cat and mouse thriller. I think from the previews, I got the impression that he was playing the devil. But watching the movie, I never was really sure that was the case.
Is disappointing. Yeah. He has the same hair color as I do in this movie.
Yeah, he has very bright red hair. Joel Kinnaman's pretty damn good in it as the only other like major character, and it's basically just a guy who gets carjacked and he has to go to the hospital because his wife's having their baby, but he's being taken to, I don't know, commit crimes instead. So, not a horrible movie.
Looks so emo in this poster.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, like, I liked the movie. I just felt like I didn't quite know the point of the movie. But I did enjoy it. I mean, I did. So that's the only of the three movies that released since we last talked that I have seen.
Wow, everybody hated it too.
Yeah, it didn't do horribly well. Another one in September came out, a movie called The Retirement Plan. Have you heard of that one, either of you?
No. Nope.
So this one stars Nick with Ron Perlman and Ernie Hudson and Jackie Earle Haley. So it's got a lot of folks in it.
He looks like the Big Lebowski.
Yeah, it has a very Big Lebowski feel if you watch the trailer. It's that weird, like, there's a couple movies like this, like Lucky Number 11 and a couple other ones that are very, like, similar. This, like, crime comedy with some action thrown in thing, mistaken identity stuff and all that. He's a retired beach bum that lives in the Cayman Islands, apparently.
As one
and
does.
I mean, honestly, looking at him in this picture where he's wearing like this Hawaiian shirt and this long gray hair, it kind of suits him. I don't know. It kind of fits him to me. I don't know. But That's the retirement plan. I have not seen it yet. Too. Yeah.
Got ripped up on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, big surprise. Both of these movies did not do horribly well. And then releasing next week is a movie called Dream Scenario. I'm actually so pumped for this. Okay, this looks really fun. It's an A24 movie, and I'm very back and forth on them, but it looks like the kind of A24 movie I like. Because it doesn't look like it moves at a snail's pace. It looks like things actually happen, which is my biggest complaint with most A24 movies I don't like. But yeah, you said you're excited about this one. So
I am.
Why are you excited about it?
Well, I mean, I like almost every A24 movie just because they're good. Which ones do you hate? I feel like I would fight about this.
Raven also loves Michael Cera. That's why she's excited about
it. I actually do love Michael Cera, but that's neither here nor there.
And Tim Meadows? Oh, he's in there?
Yeah, Tim Meadows. It looks like bonkers and funny and like, I don't know. It just looks like a good fucking time.
Well, we could have a long A24 conversation later, but I don't
on
like...
On our A24 podcast that we just started just right now.
Right.
Fantastic.
Well, I think this is actually his first A24 movie, I think, Nick Cage's.
Yeah, but that seems accurate. That seems correct.
I don't like the most heralded ones that you'll probably fight with me about is I don't like a single movie by Robert Eggers. I think The Witch is mediocre at best. Yeah, it's like The Lighthouse is one of the hardest things to watch in the entire world.
I would agree with you on that, actually. I like that it exists, but I don't ever want to fucking watch it again.
Now, to be fair, I have only seen 2 out of 3, so I can't really say I don't. I hated him so much the first two movies, like they just were not pleasant experiences for me, that I never saw The Northman. But I heard it's a lot different than the other two.
I think you would, if you didn't like either of the other two, I think you would like The Northman.
I hated The Northman.
I didn't love it. It wasn't my favorite, but it is.
But Justin would love it.
It's more digestible than either of the other two.
I heard that I get a naked Skarsgård.
You do.
Kind of. I mean.
Not like full frontal?
I know. I think it is, but it's like really brief. It's like super quick.
I think there's a.
So
a
like Jason Segel in. So it's not like Jason Segel in Forgetting Sarah Marshall where you get three long gazes at him.
No. Okay. You also get Willem Dafoe. Dong in Northmen again because like
he's been naked in quite a few movies to be honest and he has a
ginormous dick. Welcome to our William Dafoe's ginormous dick podcast.
But to be fair, he's a very small man. Like he's, and so it just, I don't know. I want to know if it looks, it does, it's huge. But I want to know if it looks bigger because because he's very thin and like gangly. I don't know. All right, so let's move on from these movies now. I'm done with them. They're okay.
All right, fine.
Okay, I don't talk about penises. We hear you.
I mean, I don't. I'm not really squeamish about penises.
We can segue from 12 inches. That doesn't seem correct.
It is. Somebody broke it down, measuring.
Don't break it on somebody's dick. That's rough. Yeah, don't do that.
Anyway.
Okay, so as we segue from 12-inch dicks. To
alpacas.
Alpacas.
To alpaca nipples. Yeah.
Well, here's a question. How big are alpacas' dicks? No, we don't really need to get into that. Now you're probably going to look it up, aren't you?
Yep. Hang on 1 second.
Wait. Don't we have a Steven? Where's Steven? Isn't he supposed to be doing this stuff?
Steven! Oh, wait. I think we named him Kevin.
We did name him Kevin, yeah.
Kevin. How long? Oh, wait. Don't look up alpaca penises. I regret it. Don't do it. Kevin, delete it.
I'm doing it.
Oh, Lord.
No, don't.
Oh, Lord.
Quit. Oh,
fuck. What happened? Why?
I know. They're so weird. It's like a worm, but like a worm that's circumcised. I don't know how to describe it. It's fucking terrifying.
A loose corkscrew.
It looks like it hurts.
It looks like it hurts.
I joined the club, and I wish I hadn't.
All right, okay. Kevin.
I feel bad for all of the fucking female alpacas that have to deal with
this. I feel bad for the male alpacas. I feel bad for everybody.
Yeah, so everybody who's listening, that was a visual bit on a podcast. we're very sorry, but look,
in, you and the audience, really Google along. Google
Hold
along.
On. I have to look up the Google stats for alpaca penises now versus when we're gonna release this.
Oh, right. We have.
Let me set that up. Man. Keep going.
Oh Lord. So anyway, so so Color Out of Space is the movie we're here to talk about. It's our Halloween. Our Halloween episode, it's a spooky movie, and now Nick Cage has a few spooky movies, but I chose this one because I wanted to have Raven on, and I wanted to hear about this story you guys alluded to, which I think I probably already heard the whole story now that you've talked about it, but I guess somehow you got...
There's more. There's more
movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's start with that. Let's before we even get into the movie itself, let me hear how you got Murder to see this movie and how pleasant or unpleasant her experience was.
So, okay. Look, I'm super into Lovecraft. I've always been since I was a teenager. So when I fucking heard this movie was coming out with Nick Cage of all goddamn people, I was like, I have to go see this film. Like, I have to. And the only place it was playing was Emmaus, I believe. Which
yeah.
is, you know, kind of a hall. But I was like,
it's near Allen's town.
It is. It's on the other side of Allen's town. Right. So like, so I told our friend Loki, who you will meet next month. Right. And I was like, she's like, yeah, we got to go, man. And we're like, Murder, do you want to go to this movie? She's like, yeah, I want to go to the movies with my friends. I love my friends. So we got her in the car.
And I think when I got to Loki's house is when they told me it had Nick Cage in it. And I started getting real grumpy and mad about it.
She was very cranky once she found out that Nick Cage was in this movie. But we, you know, she got in the car anyway because she's like, whatever, you lucky, I like you guys. You guys are the best. And then she wouldn't shut the fuck up the entire movie with her disparate. She's like, oh God, this is awful. She's just audibly rolling her eyes. And
I didn't even mean to. It was like, there's other people in the theater giving me dirty looks, and I literally cannot contain myself of going like, ew, like the whole entire time I'm like, oh my God, he's so annoying. And I like was trying to control myself and I couldn't stop.
She really couldn't. It was like something had come over her.
And I was like sighing so deeply the entire time.
It was like sitting next to a teenager in like chemistry class. Like it was just like it was otherworldly.
Borophil.
Oh, it's so stupid. You know, I thoroughly enjoyed it regardless. And then when we left the movie, we were like, Murder, what'd you think? And she's like, fuck you, fuck your whole family. That was the worst 2 hours of my whole life. One bathroom for 400 people. You know.
My typical rants when I don't like something.
Yeah.
there were parts of it that I liked. Like the ending was good at the
because
end.
It was over?
Like when it was over.
I liked it visually. I thought it was pretty.
You like Tommy Chong? Tommy Chong is pretty delightful in this movie.
Yeah, Tommy Chong is nice. Who couldn't love Tommy Chong?
I don't know. I mean,
Hitler, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe Hitler.
Yeah, maybe Hitler, but not me.
So speaking of Hitler, that's a great segue, isn't it?
Yeah.
one of the things that gets me about this movie is, I swear to God, the voice Nick Cage does when he gets like weird and possessed-y is totally a Trump voice. It's
Dude.
Totally.
Well, so
a
the
Trump
thing
voice.
Is, Richard Stanley told him to do his Vampire's Kiss voice. And that's basically, if you watch Vampire's Kiss recently, it is basically that. But I think because of the political climate at the time, he just kind of like
sure.
lent itself really well to Donald Trump.
It did.
You know, anybody, so people immediately were like, why are you talking like Donald Trump? And he just kind of went with it. He's like, sure.
Yeah,
it's Donald
even,
Trump.
Even Joe, like, I remember him in the theater leaning to me and saying, is he trying to be Trump? What's happening? Because he did sound like that. And it was weird, yeah. too, because, and I don't think he would have if he was directed better. Like, I almost feel like this
no,
was
he was
more...
told to do that. He was literally told to do that.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is if,
yeah.
It's like they didn't know how to direct him. They didn't know what to do with him to make him apply to this movie. So they were just like, just do this voice. Just be your most Cage self. Because they had no idea how to make him fit into, like, the Lovecraft world.
Well, I mean, it actually, I feel like it backfired as well, because like it's completely separate from the entire rest of the mood of the movie.
It is.
Yeah.
I appreciate it for existing, because I'm like, this is just fucking gonzo. But it does, if you kind of like look at it from like a perspective of like, let's pick this apart, like it absolutely does not fit at all, like with the rest of the movie. Like,
We'll get to this in a little bit when we talk about Nick in the film at all as well. But it's even really detached from his performance, because I think when he's not doing the voice and he's more normal dad guy, he's actually one of the least cagey Cage performances I've watched in a while. Like, he's very just blends into the role, and then suddenly, at the drop of a hat, he becomes, you know, Nick Cage Trump guy. And mind you, I also like the gonzo nature of it, but you're right, it doesn't fit. But yeah,
that was also the
big problem. Maybe that's the point, right? Like, maybe it's not supposed to. I mean, the whole idea of cosmic horror is that it's just so fucking like, I can't explain this. There's no explanation for this. It is meant to confuse and confound.
Yeah, I can definitely see that approach to it, but I think the thing that like bothered me the most about it is it didn't feel like Lovecraftian. The only thing about Nick Cage in that whole entire movie that felt like Lovecraft was his fucking thick frame glasses. Like, I feel like they're just like, wear these glasses and you're definitely going to be a Lovecraft character, and it's going to be
fine.
Well,
I mean, the whole thing was a very modernized version of the short story, which you know, I feel like Lovecraftian is a term that, you know, people are just like, yeah, it's got tentacles. Like, that's Lovecraftian means, you know, it's cosmic horror, essentially. It's like fearing the unknowable, essentially.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that was as good as an interpretation of as any, really.
Yeah.
So talk like Donald Trump and murder your children.
I think, like, visually, like, everything that was going on in the movie visually made sense. Like, if you put this movie on mute and just like let it run in the background, like, you could be like, oh yeah, this is very like cosmic horror, this is very H.P. Lovecraft, you know what I mean? But like, as soon as they started fucking talking, and it wasn't even just stupid,
it was anybody, it's the dialogue,
the dialogue was so empty, it was such garbage. Like, it really did a disservice to how beautiful the movie was, because the movie was really pretty. Like, the colors that they picked, like the visual representations of them like actually losing their mind and like not being able to like apply time and space together, like, I think they did such a good job visually. And then they fucking started opening up their mouths. Like, any character open up their mouth. It was like fucking awkward and pausey, and like, it felt like everybody on set was being held hostage. Like, I don't know how to describe it other than that.
If you know anything about Richard Stanley, it's probably not too far off the mark.
Yeah,
I mean,
it probably isn't too far off the mark. Yeah, that's
maybe
a good point.
That's why I was so bothered by it, because I don't know Richard Stanley. So like, maybe I didn't really like get his directive. Like, you know,
that's fair. Before we get into the Richard Stanley of it all, I want to ask, you know, let's ask our guest, what is Color Out of Space about?
So
for those who haven't seen it,
Who haven't seen it or heard of the story, essentially it's about this family who lives on a farm. They're farmers in Massachusetts, because that's where everything Lovecraft takes place. And a meteor falls from the sky, and essentially it's literally about a color that is indescribable, which makes it very difficult to translate into film. But in the story, it's about a color that slowly takes over the world, pretty much, or the area that it's in, and mutates things and fucks with time. And it's like a whole horror show. That's a very basic summary, but look it up and read it.
It's
a short story. Read it. It's really great. So,
so that said, I'm assuming you already know this, Raven, but I don't know that you do, but Murder. But this is like depending on the interpretations of some others, this is like the third or fourth version of this on screen.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
The 1965 movie Die Monster Die is based on this. I've never seen that one, but it stars Boris Karloff. Yeah, you're a fan of that? Yeah.
Big fan.
Now, Stephen King,
I think next to Annihilation is probably the best one, next to Annihilation.
Right. When I love Annihilation, which is obviously, especially the movie adaptation of the book Annihilation, I think, even borrows mm-hmm. more from Lovecraft than the yeah. book itself. But both of them are really, I love that movie. And then there's also a movie just called Color from the Dark that came out in 2008 that was based on this as well, but that kind of had no following, so I have also not seen that one.
There's a Color Out of Space. I think it's like Swedish or Finnish. It's on Amazon, which is a pretty faithful adaptation of the book.
Okay.
But it's not very good.
Well, and now that I'm actually
it's black and white. Yeah,
I think there were three or four, wild. And there's actually like probably seven, yeah, eight, like nine. Yeah, so it's obviously been done before. But this is definitely the most high profile that is directly an adaptation and not like borrowing certain things from or whatever. So that said, with that in mind, I want to talk a little bit about the director since we talked about him here. I had two wildly different experiences with this movie from when I first saw it and when I saw it again, more literally preparing for this episode. And the reason is, in the time since it came out that the man was kind of a giant piece of shit. And everybody knew he was like standoffish and weird, but I don't think people knew that he was, you know, an abusive jerk to people in his personal life, like, you know, his fiance, I believe it was at the time, that, and then other stories starting to creep out and stuff. And so I have to admit, like, while I've always preached, you know, separate the art from the artist, I really struggled with that in this one because for some reason I just really, really couldn't get into it. And it was the Richard Stanley of it all for me.
It is. Yeah. He definitely like rubbed his taint all over it. And it took away from it for me too, as well. So.
Well, and then
such a bummer. Yeah.
Well, and that's also a bummer too, because I think you had said, Raven, when we've talked before, that you were a Richard Stanley fan besides this movie as well.
Oh yeah. I mean, I loved Hardware. That was, you know, one of my favorites. Dust Devil was great. You know, and then that whole like, documentary about the Island of Dr. Moreau was like, I thought it was fucking riveting. But yeah, finding out that he's always been a little weird, but finding out he was an actual piece of shit was really
Like that documentary you're talking about shows just how fucking weird the guy is.
Yeah, because didn't he get like fired from that?
Oh yeah, and then snuck back on in heavily makeup so he could
very he snuck back on like disguised as one of the character, like he's like probably in it somewhere.
Because I think he I remember seeing something about him getting fired from it, and then I also remembered when I was like looking him up a little bit, seeing an acting credit for Dr. Moreau. The Island of Dr. Moreau.
Like an uncredited, because after the fact they've realized he was in the film.
He was in it, yeah.
He
Melting, yep, here it is. Melting Bulldog, uncredited.
Oh, wow. So the man, you know, is an interesting guy if you can, you know, take away the personal life crap that he's done with and his films. I would argue that Color Out of Space is probably the most fully realized of his films that has like an actual story that works and stuff. Because like there's really cool ideas in things like Hardware and Dust Devil and some cool visuals. But as full movies, they don't necessarily make a lick of sense.
No, they don't at all. Really? They don't.
And I mean, like, I like Hardware because Lemmy's in it, and I love Lemmy.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And it's the movie where he probably had the most screen time of any movie he was in. That or he's the president in, the first Class of Nukem High. But
I would be remiss if I didn't mention Carl McCoy from Fields of the Nephilim, which is also in Hardware. Joe, my husband, would absolutely fucking harangue me if I didn't mention it.
fair. So that's kind of the Richard Stanley of it all for me. And that just took away from this rewatch. The first time I watched the movie, I really, really liked it. In fact, I have a review on some website somewhere where I raved about this movie when it came out. I really struggled with it this time for that reason.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The other thing, though, that's I think maybe even more of a conversation, and you said sounds like Raven has an awful lot of experience, is the Lovecraft of it all.
Mm-hmm. The Lovecraft of it all.
And he's also a piece of shit human being, but what a great writer.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I mean, I would argue he was possibly worse than Richard Stanley.
No, he's so, those who are unaware, he had a dog whose name was the N-word.
A cat. It was a black cat.
Wrong animal, yeah. But, and as much as I hate cats, I would never use that word. So,
wow.
He's not a good guy.
No. And I mean, everyone likes to, you know, all the fanboys are like, oh, for his time, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, even people of his time were like, what a racist piece of shit.
Yeah, right. Like a raging racist.
Yeah, like the level of xenophobia that Lovecraft sort of, you know, inherently was all about was just absolutely fucking mind-boggling. He was, you know, the guy was not a good guy in any fucking realm of the imagination, but an excellent writer.
Well,
unfortunately,
it's so bad that there's actually, I stumbled upon it a couple of months ago. It was a Hitler or Lovecraft quiz, to try and guess if Hitler said it or Lovecraft said it. And I took it and I failed it because I kept on thinking there's no way Hitler didn't say this. And it was Lovecraft. It's so crazy. It's so insane. But
that is crazy.
Batshit insane. So,
I feel Hitler hated, you know, quite a lot of groups of people, but Lovecraft hated all of them.
Yeah. It's almost like he was a humanist because he just hated fucking everybody.
Yeah. Anybody that wasn't a white person from New England or from Old England, those are his criteria.
Even then, he probably talked so much shit on people from England.
Yeah. Well, he thought they were better than him, and he, raged out by trying to make fun of them and stuff, but
the big difference between him and Richard Stanley for me, and why I can get over him and I can't get over Stanley, is that Stanley, even when I I watch his films, he's still benefiting financially in some way because he's alive.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And Lovecraft is dead, so I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah,
but on the other hand, Lovecraft. The good of Lovecraft is that so much of what is now modern horror has grown out of his ideas in a lot of ways. And both for the good and bad, but in general, mostly the good. Like, I think he really has some really cool ideas. And like what you were saying with cosmic horror, I think a lot of people assume when you hear the Lovecraft of it, you're thinking, tentacles and squid monsters and weird stuff like
fucking Cthulhu, man.
Yeah.
And that is part of it, for sure.
And that's part of it, for sure. But I think ultimately, when I hear Lovecraftian, to me, I want to think of cosmic horror. I want things that I cannot understand because I am just a simple human. I want elder gods, you know, things that come out of space that is just a color and that will absolutely fucking destroy your whole life.
Yeah. I like that.
So tentacles, too. Tentacles are great.
What about this movie do you really love? And you know, what are the things that jumped out at you? Because, Murder, you already kind of hit on the big thing for you is the visuals.
Yeah, the visuals I thought were beautiful. I really did. Well, so just to give you a quote before we go into, like, what we loved about it, I found this quote, like, as we left the movie theater, I was on Rotten Tomatoes about this, because I was like, there's no way that I could be the only one that hated this.
Correct, yes. So I remember you going there.
This one quote that I said to everyone that sums up this movie for me is, there's nothing to think about, but a lot of things to describe. Like, that's the best way to put this movie. Like, dialogue, nothing. But, like, visually, gorgeous. Anyway, go ahead. Let's hear what you loved about it.
I thought the representation of the color that has never before been seen or can be described as not being a specific color, like, it was forever, you know, kind of moving and shifting and changing. And I thought that was, probably the best move you could do to make that believable. Because, it's, you know, at its core, it's a color that can't be described. It's never been seen before by a person. How do you depict that visually? So to just have it be, like, constantly pulsing was a very good decision. The dialogue is kind of stunted, but I do think the gonzo-ness of it, especially when it gets to the second act or even the third act, the alpacas, so ridiculous. Why is there so much focus on an alpaca? It's a treat. It is a treat because it is visually and just like the plot devices are so fucking gonzo. And I really love it. I think it really captured the essence of the story.
You know, for me, I really liked The girl who played Lavinia, I thought she was really good.
Oh, she was good.
Madeline Arthur. I don't know her very well. A lot of the stuff she's been in, stuff I just haven't seen. It looks like a bunch of television as well as some kid stuff when she was younger. So I'm not as familiar with her beyond this movie. I liked her in this movie a lot. And she stood out. I mean, like, nobody stood out as bad except for Cage's accent thing that we talked about. But honestly, I actually like his performance for the most part quite a bit. But she stood out specifically as, like, I don't know, whenever she was on screen, it always worked for me. And I do love the weird little Tommy Chong, you know, segments. He's just a fun, weird, basically playing himself, you know, playing a weird stoner guy, which is really, you know, that's what
I mean. The end bit with his recording was fucking chilling.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Like that. Oh man, that was amazing.
How about stuff you specifically didn't like? And let's stay away from Nick for a minute, okay? Because I know that Murder's probably got a book of things she didn't like about him.
Only five things.
Okay. So what didn't you like besides Nick? I think you've already talked about the dialogue. You don't like the dialogue.
Are you talking to me? I'm sorry.
I mean, I am talking to you at the moment. Yeah.
Oh, okay, great. I felt like the movie itself felt so long for how much substance it had. Like, I think that there was so much that was really cool about it, but I just felt like they really did stretch things out, and I think that's where the dialogue problems came in. Like, them doing, like, the awkward pauses and the weird looks at each other that didn't really make sense and felt like it was just, like, dragging it out. So, like, I feel like if they put in a little bit more, I don't know, plot, I don't know what they could have done to fix it, but it just felt like 51 minutes too long. So that was something that really bothered me. I thought, oh, well, that kind of has to do with Nick Cage too. Yeah. So that's the only non-Nick Cage thing I can say. That I didn't like the rest.
Raven, what did you not love?
I mean, I would agree that the movie is slightly longer than it needs to be. I think they kind of introduced some sort of elements of the plot that were kind of unnecessary. I mean, I get, you know, the wife had a mastectomy and it's, you know, essentially like a family that's grieving, and, you know, how quickly they go from being this family who moved from the city to the country to start a farm, and they're dealing with their own shit. And that whole like real estate bit, you know, the wife is like overworked and she just cut her fingertips off and she's like, I need Wi-Fi, like that.
Yeah.
That was kind of absurd. But yeah, I think the movie was a little bit bloated unnecessarily in parts. I didn't really give a shit about the mayor who wants to build the dam over the house, and the hydrologist. What the hell is a hydrologist? I don't know. Why was he there? I don't remember.
He was just there.
Told us that the water was no good.
Oh, well, because it had oil on it. So he didn't like that it had oil on it.
I feel like anyone without a degree of hydrologist could like have looked at that water and went, this is glowing and has substances in it. I would say that this is not safe to drink.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would encourage people to drink it just to see what happens. But maybe
I might do that too, especially if I had already drank it, because I don't want to go down alone. So
right. Mm-hmm. I feel like it looked like the water looked almost like it could have turned you into a Ninja Turtle.
Yeah, it could have done. I'm kind of bummed that it didn't. It just kind of fused you together, you know.
Maybe that's the sequel that's never going to happen because he's a piece of shit, so we're not going to get to see it. But
well, this is supposed to be the beginning of a trilogy, evidently.
He wanted to do Dunwich Horror.
Dunwich Horror. I don't know that he will, but...
Yeah, I don't think... Well, he certainly won't be doing it with Spectrevision, because they came out and said they would never work with him again. So...
Seems to happen a lot to him.
Yeah.
And also, there's a really perfectly adequate 1970 film of the Dunwich Horror that is... beyond reproach, so there's no need.
I would call it not very good.
Shut up! It's beyond reproach.
I mean, I have never watched it. Maybe if I watched it while doing drugs, it would be good. I don't know.
It is a Dean. It's Dean Stockwell's finest moment, and I will not hear otherwise.
I mean, you're not going to hear me argue that, but I'm not going to argue that Dean Stockwell has a lot of great moments. I'm not that concerned with the fact that he, you know, yes, he won some best actor awards and stuff. It's just not, it doesn't do anything for me. Although,
I mean, second only to his work on Quantum Leap.
If I remember correctly, he had a bit part in Blue Velvet and a bit part in Beverly Hills Cop, or one of the Beverly Hills Cops. I don't know.
That might be his finest role. Next to Quantum Leap, of course.
Well, Quantum Leap, yeah. So I didn't think I was talking about Quantum Leap today. I didn't get into that. I mean, I would have maybe prepared. I would have watched the new reboot show of Quantum Leap, maybe. I don't know.
No, I refuse. If it's not Scott Bakula, I'm not interested.
That's fair. Although we all know the best episode of Quantum Leap is the parody Always Sunny episode about Quantum Leap.
That's also true. Yeah, that's also true.
So, all right, let's get to Nick Cage. Let's get to him. I think we've hit most of the things, but Murder probably has a list of a few other things that she didn't like about Nick. Tell me, Murder, what about Nick bothered you in this movie?
Well, so besides his stupid ranty rants, I just felt like he wasn't, like, I felt like it was a documentary following Nick Cage around in the woods. Like, that's, like, the best way that I can describe, like, his acting performance outside of being ranty. Like, he was just doing, like, very mundane things and not, and, like, almost overacting to the point where it just felt, like, really fake and weird. And it was just, like, following Nick Cage having a mental breakdown in the woods by himself, which I just hated. And it was really hard to watch. So that was, like, the big thing with Nick Cage. I think that making a really cool and beautiful movie isn't enough. Like, even if you are adding in Nick Cage's fucking rage thing to it, isn't enough to, like, call it a good movie. And it really bothers me that people, they're like, this is rated through the roof, like, on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. And it really bothers me that it is, just because it's associated with Lovecraft. And I feel like that's the only reason why it gets that hyped of a movie review, is because they're just like, oh my god, who cares about the dialogue, who cares about the plot, Lovecraft, oh my god. Yeah, like, that's what I feel like with that this.
Because I feel like there's so many Lovecraft adaptations that people are like, this is absolute dog shit.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it also really depends on, like, who's, like, reviewing it. Like, there's a lot of critics on here that I have seen a lot of reviews where they're just, like, sucking the dick of anybody who is very famous, or, like, very, like, prestigious in a certain, like, movie genre. So, like, it might be that too, because all of these fucking reviewers, like Dallas King, he's, like, notorious for just going on whatever, like, pop culture likes, if that makes sense. So that bothers me. I just don't think it's very, like, interesting. Like, I thought it was really cool visually. I thought, like, the color that they picked for the color out of space was really cool. Like, it was both, like, it was all three, like, blue, purple, and pink at the exact same time. Like, when it, like, stopped pulsating, I guess. Like, I could not tell what color it was, and I thought that was actually really neat that they did that. I think, like, trying to figure out how to, like, describe that color would probably be the hardest part about making this movie, and I think they did a good job. But I just think that outside of that, it wasn't very, like, interesting to me. And then I, like, went back and I read the story, and I thought that was really good, but I didn't really feel like it was, like, translated well into a movie. Like, this feels like one of those things that just should never have been a movie to begin with. Does that make sense?
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Even if I don't agree with it all.
I don't agree with it, but it makes sense.
Yeah. But, you know, I just don't think, like, you can take a short story that's really interesting and have Nick Cage lose his fucking mind and sound like Donald Trump for an hour and 51 minutes and then call it a movie.
But see, like, I didn't think the movie was the way you described it, and yet I really wish it was, because when you say a documentary of Nick Cage losing his mind in the woods, I actually really want to see
that. Yeah, that sounds fantastic, frankly.
But I want it to be an actual documentary of him actually losing his mind. Not that I wish him ill will, but I just feel like it would be I don't know, that would probably be incredible. Almost like the Blair Witch Project, but he's the witch.
Yeah.
He's both the witch and the documentary maker.
Yes, he's both of them. Yes. Oh, I'm really. I want to
apologize to Mike's dad for being.
Man, I kind of now want to make a movie. I never wanted to make one until then.
That actually sounds more interesting to me than whatever the fuck this was, but that's just my opinion.
So I think I let it be known that I like Nick Cage in this movie. I think the Trump voice is distracting to me because it sounds too Trumpy, but I not just because it sounds, I think it's also what you explained, Raven, is it's very disconnected from the rest of his performance and the rest of the movie. And I know that like he's supposed to be snapping out and almost talking like he's possessed by this thing or whatever, but like, I don't know, like I feel like he has a rather grounded performance before that, like, and for him at least, you know, before he snaps, and it just feels like, man, I kind of liked him as just regular dad dude.
Yeah, and I think it's actually interesting because the Trump voice, he actually only brings it out, I think it's twice, possibly three times, and it's very briefly each time, but it feels so much longer.
Yeah, that's like the thing, the vibe of this movie for me is that everything feels more long than it should. Like, it felt like work watching this movie. Like, I think that's why I hated it so much, is because I just felt like everything was so taxing. Like, the dialogue took forever. Him freaking out took forever. Like, I don't know. Maybe that was the point.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the slow descent into madness is, you know, very Lovecraftian. So, I mean, yeah. I think a lot of it, you know, is very intentional. But, you know, at the same time, you know, was it as executed as well as it could have been? But, you know, probably not. But I still enjoy the shit out of it.
What are, you know, while we're still talking about Lovecraft and stuff at the moment, what are some of your favorite Lovecraft-inspired movies? I'm just curious.
Oh, Reanimator, of course.
Okay. I mean, that's not just inspired. That's a straight-up adaptation of a story. Up. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Reanimator and Annihilation are probably my top two. And even The Void is also very, very good. Trying to think what else.
The Void is, in a way, my criticism of The Void would be similar to Murders of this movie. I think it looks a lot better than it is. Like, I think
100%. But I still enjoyed watching it.
Oh, yeah, the visuals are amazing.
Yeah. And, of course, Lovecraft Country, the series on HBO, I thought was fucking phenomenal.
Well, it's super
cool
because
which is not an adaptation at all, but it is.
But it's awesome how they take Lovecraft ideas and then they make it a story that's about racism.
Yeah.
So it's like, wow. So we basically are going to completely, put a middle finger in this dude's face. While
oh, God, it was so good. Like, the whole concept of Lovecraft Country, like, it just is a big fuck you to Lovecraft and while also stealing all of the best of his ideas.
Yeah, that's what I loved about
it. Makes
about
me happy. Makes me really happy.
I just need to interject real quick because I just found out that there is a movie called The Call Girl of Cthulhu.
Oh yeah, it's a
yeah. I'm like dying.
It's available on Tubi. It's
when a virginal artist falls in love with a call girl, she turns out to be the chosen bride of the alien god Cthulhu.
Sorry. As one does.
Don't you hate that when the girl you fall for
turns out to be a
bride of the Cthulhu's Asian gods,
baby? Cabinet of Curiosities, the Netflix series that Guillermo del Toro did of Lovecraft stories, is fantastic.
So I have not watched any of that yet. And I definitely need to check that out.
Good. It's so beautiful. Like, it's just so beautifully done.
So I just wanted to point out that Call Girl of Cthulhu, not only am I aware of that movie, but it's by the guy who made WNUF Halloween Special, and he is a guy I know pretty well.
That's hilarious.
I've shown shorts and movies of his at other festivals I used to help out with it and stuff. So Chris LaMartina, great guy. That movie is super weird and fun. But I would argue that my favorites are probably, I would say Event Horizon's got a lot of very Lovecraftian ideas in it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
In the Mouth of Madness, which is kind of like a weird love letter to both Stephen King and Lovecraft.
I watch that movie once a week. Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, it's so good. It's actually probably my favorite John Carpenter movie. And that's saying a lot. So,
yeah.
Because I'm a big fan of his.
The thing is also pretty Lovecraftian, really.
Right, that's fair.
Yeah.
I also really love The Endless. If you're not familiar with The Endless, it's Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead. Really weird cosmic horror thing going on. I've always been a big fan of that one. So, yeah, I guess those are kind of the ones that come to mind. Actually, Benson and Moorhead also did a movie called Spring. That's a tentacle monster thing. So, you know, that counts too, I guess.
More tentacles, more flavor.
I mean, I guess, you know, we were talking about A24 earlier, and in some sense, you could probably argue that Lighthouse is kind of Lovecraftian, even though I hate that movie.
It is in a, like, kind of a
the madness, the cosmic stuff, the weirdness.
Unknowable way. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's we'll wrap that up there, and we'll kind of start wrapping this up by launching back into our cageometer. I don't know how to pronounce that. Cageometer. What do you think?
Should we go cageometer? Cageometer.
Cageometer. That sounds cageometer.
Cageometer.
I would like cageometer. I like cageometer the best.
Because it doesn't sound like cage, and you hate saying the word cage. I know.
It also just sounds fancier. So,
it does. I promised earlier in this show, in the beginning when we started this series, that I was going to track all these, and I don't remember anything about what we rated anything at this point. But the goal here was a rating of 1 to 5 and kind of come up with an average of them. And we're going to bring it back here, and I'm going to kick us off and say I give this movie a firm 3.
Nice.
Right in the middle, because to me... And here's my problem with it. I can't let go of I'm willing to say it. I just can't let go of the Richard Stanley of it all. I tried, but I can't.
At least you're being honest. That's nice. How about that?
Yeah. All right. So, Murder, what about you?
I would give it a 2. Just because I really did enjoy the visuals of it. I thought it was interesting to, like, look at. But yeah, outside of that, I think Nick Cage was garbage in it and a garbage actor, and he doesn't deserve anything.
Well, that in mind, Raven, what do you want to rate this movie?
Oh man, do you do halves?
Yeah, we do.
You can definitely do halves. Yeah,
I would give it a 3.5.
Okay, right. Yeah, that's where I was. I was leaning there too, like 3.5.
I shaved the half point off because of the Richard Stanley of it all, but I would have given it a 4 if it hadn't been for the Richard Stanley of it all. But yeah,
so we're coming in right around a 3-ish for the three of us. You know, maybe slightly less than 3. I think like 2.875. I think that's the average. That's pretty good in my head. But I got told that I'm not allowed to ask Murder to do math because it's homophobic.
Yeah, well, technically it's biphobic, but yeah, biphobic, it's not phobic, nice. Yeah.
Well, it's not appropriate.
You know, do math.
I know. So somewhere in that 3-ish range is our cageometer.
Cageometer.
Oh man, I can't even do it. And I think with that in mind, Murder, on our next episode, which will actually be our 10th episode, finally, it only took us a year and a half to get there. I think we're going to have to unleash a 1 through 10 ranking of our movies. So we're going to have to figure that out beforehand, but we will do that. But with that in mind, I want to tell everybody what we're doing next. So if you guys want to watch along, we actually have our movie selected for next month because we had a little audience poll and the winner was a movie called Army of One, which to be fair, I was one of the votes for because I know it's going to piss Murder off. And I'm very excited about that. Army of One is it's from I want to say 2018-ish. I don't have it in front of me. 2017, somewhere in there, and it's Russell Brand as God, and Nick Cage as a guy who believes he's on a mission from God. Well, not just believes, he is on a mission from God because he talks to God regularly in this movie. And we talk often about Nick Cage's voice choices and accent choices in movies, and this is going to be the most interesting one yet.
Oh God, he can't even keep it. He'll keep it for
he keeps it pretty well on this one.
Does he?
And you're gonna wish he didn't. You're really wish he didn't. Oh yeah, it's bad. So
Rotten Tomatoes killed that fucking movie too.
Oh yeah, I cannot wait. But that's gonna be I'm thankful for how you're going to feel and how much it's going to piss you off. So we're going to do that one around Thanksgiving time.
Oh, perfect. Me and Loki will be screaming at each other just like every other Thanksgiving.
Which is honestly the goal. So, back-to-back episodes with some awesome Derby gals. So I'm stoked about putting these out. And Raven, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Raven.
Anytime. When you want to talk about wrestling, call me back.
I have a wrestling podcast too, so I guess I'm gonna have to get you in on one of those next.
Yeah, dude, what have you not done that before?
I don't know. Well, because I actually get like professional wrestlers to come on lately.
Oh, okay. So Raven's not good enough, is what you're saying? My girl's not good enough for you?
Oh, no.
No, she's good. Okay. Enough.
No. I don't like the attitude, Raven. You're not doing this podcast.
All right, fine.
As my manager, she speaks for me.
I won't allow it.
Well, with that in mind, everyone, thank you for bearing with us with our consistent inconsistency. And I'm going to promise that the next episode comes out around Thanksgiving, like I just said. But I'm going to hope to it. I'm going to be, and you should be thankful when it does or doesn't, whatever way. Please just be thankful. With that in mind, thanks again. And what do you guys have any parting thoughts and words for our listeners?
I love you so much. You're so pretty.
If you don't end it with, excuse me, I have to milk the alpacas.
Don't search alpaca penis. That's what I'm gonna...
It's not too much. That ship has sailed.
So, wait. So what's the line I have to make sure we put in? You said it. Say it again.
Excuse me. I have to go milk the alpacas.
This is perfect.
Well, that sounds like the way to end the episode, and we will. We're gonna all go milk some alpacas, and we'll we'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Bye.
ささやき